Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Making news as we go tonight on the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday evening, September 29th. I'm your host, James Edwards. Welcome back. Second of 3 hours now upon us. We're coming to you from our flagship station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AMFM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We covered a lot of ground during the first hour, still much more ground to be covered before the sand falls from the hourglass. Tonight, Keith Alexander sticking with me for the second hour. Big news being made by the political cesspool. International headlines, in fact, in Sweden. Very complimentary article about our work published in one of their leading newspapers, whereas here in America, unfortunately, we are not entitled to an objective assessment. A local Democratic Party in North Carolina has denounced our work, and we're going to get to that resolution in just a moment. Walter Jones, however, congressman out of North Carolina, still sticking by his comments on the radio. And this is what was said. Representative Walter Jones is setting the record straight about his reasons for being interviewed on a syndicated radio program. And this is what it says. And of course, they're referring to our show. He said, "I am so committed to getting our troops home before the end of 2014 that any show approved by the FCC that asked me to appear, I go on. I don't ask whether they're conservative or liberal. When a program manager calls, I do my best to schedule it. The station I went on is licensed, and there have never been complaints against it. I want to get our troops out of Afghanistan." Then when asked about the fact that the SPLC condemns our work, direct response from Congressman Jones was, and I quote, "Half the things that go out on the internet aren't true, so it's hard to believe if something true or not true." And then it goes on to talk about the fact that while on the Political Cesspool radio program, Jones briefly discussed his proposed House Resolution 107, which calls for President Obama's handling of military intervention in Libya, an impeachable offense. To which Congressman Jones responded, "The president should ask Congress for a declaration of war. That's in the Constitution. The only exception is if we are attacked." And then it went on to conclude by saying that Jones held a press conference on Capitol Hill on Friday to warn that if Congress does not quickly reassert its constitutional power for declaring war, there will be additional devastating conflict. So that was the story that hit several local newspapers in North Carolina. It was fairly matter of fact. The Democratic resolution out of North Carolina, not so much. Here's what it reads. And Bill Rowland's going to call in just a moment to opine on this, our co-host, and then Keith Alexander and I are going to make sense of it after that. But this is it in its entirety. "Whereas on September 8th, 2012, Representative Walter B. Jones chose to be a featured guest on the Political Cesspool, a highly controversial white nationalist radio program as identified by the Anti-Defamation League and Southern Poverty Law Center. And whereas both groups condemned the program for supporting racist and anti-Semitic ideas by promoting the views of neo-Nazis, Holocaust deniers, and white supremacists." You know what? I gotta pause right there, Keith. There's so many lies and distortions just in the first two planks of this resolution. It would take the rest of the show to unpack them. First of all, we have never proclaimed ourselves to be white nationalists or anything else of the sort. We've said we are conservative, or more specifically, paleoconservative. But when they say that we have supported neo-Nazis and Holocaust deniers, who are they talking about? People like Pat Buchanan and Paul Craig Roberts, Congressman Jones, Ray Stevens. I mean, these are the guests we have on. We have never once, and this is the honest to God truth, in 8 years of broadcast, we have never once addressed the Holocaust at all. You know, one way or the other, we have never discussed the Holocaust on this show. So how can they claim that we are Holocaust deniers? And if they're saying we have interviewed Holocaust deniers, who are they talking about? I'd certainly like to know. Neo-Nazis. When have we ever advocated for Nazism via either it be neo or paleo-Nazism? Never, ever. That's the truth. Never. You know, they just think that if they can throw these lies out often enough that it's going to stick. We've never had a Nazi on this show. We've never promoted the tenets of Nazism. We've never recommended it. We have never talked about the Holocaust, for better or for worse. It's just complete and utter, and that's truly what it is, folks. There's no gray area here. It's just a lie from the pit of hell. It's a complete and utter fabrication, and I can't say it any more, you know, frankly than that.
It's just a classic case of mudslinging. You know, if what you actually do doesn't fit within one of their categories, they blithely ignore that and they keep slinging the mud. You know, a white nationalist, for example, that's somebody that believes in forming an all-white nation and kicking all non-whites out of it. You know, there have been some people that have, you know, discussed that before, and we've talked with them on the show, but we've never endorsed those ideas. I think it's a foolish notion myself. So, okay, there goes white nationalists down the drain. Neo-Nazis. What in the heck is a neo-Nazi? How is a neo-Nazi different from a paleo-Nazi? You know, it's like that. What was that? The Blues Brothers, where they had the neo, so-called neo-Nazi people. This is one of the fabrications of the left. It's one of their bugaboos or bugbears that they use to frighten people with. There's some group of neo-Nazis tromping around that are meeting secretly and planning to take over the Earth, you know, from a spaceship or something. It's utter errant foolishness. Likewise, white supremacists. You know, Jared Taylor of American Renaissance handled that about as well as anyone. He said that based on IQ studies, whites are not supreme. We all acknowledge that. If you read the bell curve, he says there are differences between different demographic categories for IQ. Whites are higher than some groups and lower than other groups. We acknowledge that. Where are these people coming from?
Expand upon the point that we are, in fact, pro-white.
But we are pro-white. We think that every group ought to have a sense of racial solidarity. Why are blacks not only allowed but encouraged to have a sense of racial solidarity? Jews, Asians, Hispanics or mestizos, everybody in the world that you can name is not only permitted but encouraged to have a sense of racial solidarity, except for white Gentiles. And why, you know, like James said, there's no rational argument that can be framed as to why we should be denied equal rights with every other group.
Well, again, you know, we don't want to get into their game too much. I think because we are a nationally syndicated program, because we are headliners and newsmakers, that we do owe our friends and detractors a rational argument, but it basically sums down to this, as Bob Whitaker has so often pointed out. They say they're anti-racist, but they're not. They're anti-white. Anti-racist is code word for anti-white. We are pro-white, and we're proud of it, and we're going to continue to be, and we're going to continue to serve for as a voice for our people, because every other group is not only entitled but encouraged to have it, and we will be that for European Americans. That's it. We got to take a break, Keith. The music is playing. Don't ask for whom the bell tolls. We'll be right back.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Helping us to make what sense that can be made from this, Bill Rowland, co-host of the show, Keith Alexander still in studio with me for the remainder of the hour as well. Don't forget, at the top of the third hour, Paul Fromm, the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression, will be able to talk about the guy that was detained and had his copy of my book seized and confiscated, now facing investigation for merely bringing it into the country. A busy night for yours truly, I tell you. But Bill, the matter of the hour, at least, is this resolution. Now, Keith and I have been batting back and forth the situation in North Carolina, the great response, the courageous response issued to the press by Congressman Walter Jones for his appearance on this show. But now this ludicrous resolution, and I'm going to read it in its entirety and then let you just have your way with it, Bill. We tried to read through it in the last segment, but there was just so much lies and mistruths in there. We kept pausing. I'm just going to read it in its entirety and then let you go to town. Here it is. Whereas on September 8th, 2012, Representative Walter B. Jones chose to be the featured guest on the Political Cesspool, a highly controversial white nationalist radio program as identified by the ADL and the SPLC, and whereas both groups condemned the program for supporting racist and anti-Semitic ideals by promoting the views of neo-Nazis, Holocaust deniers, and white supremacists, and whereas in this racially charged venue, Representative Jones discussed his bill, H.R. 107, which states that President Barack Obama's handling of the military intervention in Libya is an impeachable offense, and whereas this raised the question of offering up the President of the United States as a target for racial extremists, and whereas there have been repeated requests for Representative Jones to address his intentions in promoting his bill in this extremist venue and confront the question of racial pandering, and whereas Representative Jones has offended many of his constituency by failing to address racial pandering concerns and disavow hate-filled and divisive language, therefore be it resolved that we call on Representative Jones to apologize for his failures and denounce any entity that espouses the mission principles of white nationalism and extremist hate. And this is signed by the leaders of this particular county Democratic Party. Bill, take it away. Dissect it as you wish.
Absolutely hysterical, first of all, and certainly I think indicates how desperate the Democrats and the liberals are to create a firestorm around this perfectly, harmless event. We had, of course, Representative Jones on to talk about an issue important to him. The conversation and the interview didn't stray off course. It didn't go into, swearing allegiance to some Nazi group or anything. And, of course, all of the charges brought by the ADL and the SPLC are as ridiculous as this resolution. And the question would be, why would any candidate of either party respond to a resolution from their opponent? Was he going to actually do, come and sign it and say, okay, I agree to this, here, I'm signing it now, I'm going to hand it back to my Democratic opponent so he can use it in his campaign? Only an utter fool would respond to such a resolution, and only fools would write it, expecting this kind of response. And of course, what they're going to say is, see, he refuses to respond to it. But I think what this indicates really is how warped and how closed up the minds of liberals really are in the belief that they've become so arrogant and absolutely so self-absorbed, they believe that every politician should be answerable to their agenda and should respond and should reflect their agenda. And of course, this is the great victory of cultural Marxism, is that there is no dissent from the hegemony of the civil rights era and civil rights, civil rights laws and civil rights beliefs. And so, naturally, they expect him to come groveling on his knees and apologize for basically appearing on a show. And typically, they do not say anything about the broadcast or what or want anybody to listen to it, because they would find it completely without merit when it comes to attacking Congressman Jones. And of course, they fall back on the ADL and the SPLC, the usual alchemists when it comes to creating smears and sorceries against the political cesspool and any of their other opponents. Now, here's my question to these liberals, these liberal Democrats. If Congressman Jones had appeared on the Howard Stern show, and while on the show had gotten involved in a mud wrestling match with two strippers, would they be shouting from the rooftops these hysterical charges against Jones, that he had debased his candidacy or that he had appeared on a controversial show, which frequently has prostitutes and all manner of deviancy? No, of course not, because they're that kind of deviant. I went on to the Democrat website, the county Democratic website in Onslow County, which passed this resolution. And, of course, I did the people. They have a little heading on the website that says people. And if you drop that heading down, it's kind of drop down, and it shows their people. And who are their people? African Americans, Hispanics, Jews, lesbians, gays, transsexuals, transgendered, everybody except white people. And that's the real clue and key to this whole controversy, is they represent everybody but white people. And so when Congressman Jones certainly can't get elected without him, it's an 82% white district. And so naturally, they're spinning on their fannies trying to figure out a way to smear him. And the only way he can do it is to fall back on their own constituency, which are a bunch of malcontents and perverts like you find in this gay, lesbian, transgendered alliance. So, it's just pure hysteria. But it does clearly illustrate the sick minds and the totally delusional people who are called liberals.
Bill, I don't know what more we can add to that than what you've already said, my friend. But, I mean, something that should be repeated is the fact that this Democratic Party, which issued this resolution, undoubtedly have never listened to our show. They've never researched our show. I doubt they even listened to the 20 minutes Congressman Jones was on the show. They are repeating stale propaganda from the SPLC that is absolutely meritless in its own regard, and presenting it as truth. They wouldn't know the difference one way or the other. They have absolutely no clue.
Well, they even go to the extreme of saying, they go to the absolute brink of insanity by saying somehow we're stirring up extremists who are a threat to President Barack Obama. Now,
that's right.
The threat is from President Barack Obama, whose own attorney general fail to prosecute real criminals who tried to prevent voting by whites in Pennsylvania. You know, they stood out with baseball bats. These Black Panthers stood out with baseball bats threatening voters. But that's not a crime. What is a crime is a congressman appearing on a radio show, which they don't approve of, and talking about an issue which is very important to him. Now, Paul Fromm's coming on later, I know, to talk about this outrage in Canada with, you know, bringing a book into Canada that can get you arrested and put in prison. We're not far from that now. And if the Democrats had their way, they would implement the same kind of muzzling and censorship that's now going on in Canada. They would do the same thing, because the one thing they cannot tolerate is reasonable, well-spoken, and well-structured dissent from their views. And our views are proving true every day, and theirs are proving false every day. And, of course, you know, if this election transpires, of course they're going to come up with more and more crazy ideas. They're already calling Barack Obama the first gay president because he's so in favor of the perversion of homosexuality and giving these deviants the same rights as normal people. And the next thing, it'll be pedophiles. And then who knows where it goes from there. But their minds are so totally warped that they can't see that their attack on free speech is the same kind of thing that they accuse the Nazis of doing in Nazi Germany.
All right, Bill, free speech. We're going to have to hold it right there, but I know you have to go, and the time is out of this segment. But, man, you have burned the radio airwaves down with your fire tonight. I love it. Thank you so much.
No problem, James, and it's good talking to you. And say hello to Keith for me.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
They don't cry.
to get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show. Bill Roland wasn't originally scheduled to appear tonight in a co-hosting capacity, but when I forwarded out word of the staff of what was in play tonight, he insisted that he come on just for a few minutes tonight and say his piece. And as far as I'm concerned, it's been one of the highlights of the program thus far. Bill Roland in that last segment absolutely let the truth be told. You know, he mentioned a very interesting point. You know, would Congressman Jones be denounced if he went on the Howard Stern show, for instance, a despicable show that promotes any manner of deviancy? But that is, of course, politically correct. Yeah, Howard Stern, you know, another thing that's interesting, Howard Stern featured on a weekly basis as part of his whack pack a guy by the name of Daniel Carver, who was an avowed Klansman who came on and talked about Ku Klux Klan talking points. He was so radical that the Klan itself distanced himself, themselves, or itself from Carver. And this was a guy that Howard Stern featured every single week on his show for a number of years. And when he would get on and issue his talking points, Stern and crew would just yuck it up and laugh with him and agree with him on some issues. But, you know, certainly Howard Stern has never been denounced as a host who promotes Klansmen and so on and so forth, as we have been. And what kind of a reward or punishment does Howard Stern get? Well, now he's been elevated to the as a host of America's Got Talent, one of the most popular television shows in the world. So just more celebrity, more stardom for Stern when he does the things in actuality that are attributed to us falsely. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Bill Roland issued an absolutely incendiary commentary. Keith, I'd like for you to give us your thoughts on that and then build upon it.
Well, meanwhile, while the left is busily denouncing us, we're striking a blow for multiculturalism here today. Here, our green room assistants have just brought us a multicultural meal of tacos, both hard and soft, from that venerable emporium of diversity, Taco Bell. So, you know, there's even a little bit of good in us, apparently. We need to pass that on to Mark Potok and Heidi Beirich and the people at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Let me tell you that I loved listening to Bill because Bill touched on what I think is the key to a lot of things. It will draw all of this together. For example, you were talking the last hour about Ann Coulter and how she tried to genuflect towards liberalism on The View and how The View was having none of it. They were just denouncing her right, left, and sideways despite all of her pandering. Same thing for Mitt Romney in his campaign. Same thing for just countless other mainstream conservatives. Sean Hannity does the same thing. Bill O'Reilly does the same thing. Rush Limbaugh does the same thing. Let me tell you what that's all about. Basically, the charges that are leveled against us all harken back to the civil rights movement. That's no accident. The left has a much broader agenda than black civil rights, but black civil rights was their one unqualified success. It is the one aspect of the triumph of liberalism in the latter half of the 20th century in America that both mainstream conservatives and mainstream liberals both heartily and 100% approve of. So whenever they run into tough sledding about the latest liberal cause du jour, be it radical environmentalism, be it gay marriage, be it radical feminism, open borders, or whatever, they always hasten back to safe harbor, which is the civil rights movement. And they always want to attack conservatives, and rightfully so, as being the people that were opposed to the civil rights movement. We understand that. That is exactly correct. Conservatives were opposed to the civil rights movement back in the 50s and the 60s. And we have done the spade work. We have done the groundwork. We've looked into it. And quite frankly, there's quite a bit to be said for opposing the civil rights movement. For example, school racial integration. That's like Caesar's wife, beyond reproach, right? Well, not really. What has happened to public education in most of America's urban centers and many rural centers as a result of the Brown decision and its progeny and the racial integration of schools. Well, what has happened is that public education in America has taken a nosedive, and it's because none of this was about equal opportunity for black kids. It was about power and the left gaining control and power of the government, of government payrolls. And what this is how cultural Marxism works. Cultural Marxism is different from what? Classical Marxism. Cultural Marxism is different from classical Marxism in that classical Marxism said that economic status was the great dividing line in human society. You were either a capitalist or you were a proletarian. You were a member of the poor or the working class, and you were aligned against the capitalist class and the bourgeoisie, which were capitalist class wannabes. Well, that's dead. That's a dead letter now. It has been driven from the field. Classical Marxism is as dead as a doornail. But on the other hand, cultural Marxism recognized early on in the 1920s that the classical Marxists were on the wrong course. They said, and Trotsky agreed with them, even though he wasn't a cultural Marxist, that race, rather than economic status, was the true fault line in human society. And that basically the way to victory for Marxists was to exploit that and mobilize all the non-white races against the white race, because they all had a historic grudge against the white race because they were either defeated militarily by them or dominated economically by them, and that animus was enduring and true. On the other hand, they said that the white working class was totally unsuited for the historic role of proletariat or spear point of the revolution, because all you had to do is wave a little money in their direction and they would abandon the revolution and become good little bourgeois wannabes. So that's what they're doing. That's what they're about. That's why people like Ann Coulter, Bill O'Reilly, Mike Huckabee, Sean Hannity, they can swear their fealty and their loyalty to the civil rights movement till the cows come home. And it's going to fall on deaf ears. It's going to fall on barren soil. It's going to be like seeds thrown on a rock pile. None of it's going to grow. And they don't seem to understand this. The more they have their efforts thrown back in their teeth, like Ann Coulter, the more they redouble their efforts. They just don't seem to understand that they're a spurned suitor. The left doesn't want them. The left has decided they're the enemy. Now, that's why the SPLC trots out these old canards about white nationalists, white supremacists, yada, 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 as they said on the Seinfeld show. And this is why none of it ever sticks on us, because we understand true conservatism. We're not adherents to this new, improved conservatism that is trying to be force-fed down the collective throats of the American majority. And the American majority knows they're hearing lies when they hear Ann Coulter, for example, when they hear Bill O'Reilly, when they hear Sean Hannity, when they hear Mike Huckabee. You know, political correctness didn't develop by accident. It was purposefully developed to make certain topics taboo. And they have terms of anathema, just like they had that in the medieval Christian church, that they would throw out at anybody that strayed into forbidden territory. If you try to discuss race honestly, you're a racist. If you try to discuss Jewish power and influence and the key role it played in the triumph of liberalism in the latter part of the 20th century, you're an anti-Semite. There is a reason why the left doesn't want you thinking about or discussing these topics. And the SPLC is trying to put itself in the position of being the arbiter of good taste in America, trying to mainstream themselves, and they have projects like the Teaching Tolerance Project, where they're trying to brainwash your children into thinking that bowing down and genuflecting to the civil rights movement or to non-whites makes them good, holy people. They have tried to infiltrate. They've got a program where they have tried to convince law enforcement that any white person who has conservative views is a terrorist threat. Meanwhile, Muslims, Arabs, SDS members, as Students for Democratic Society members, weathermen, hard leftists like Bill Ayers and Bernadette Dorn. They're no threat at all. Just forget about the fact that they actually planted bombs and killed people in the past. None of that matters. It's these white guys in red state America that are the real danger. Well, we're the real danger to them because we're the people that aren't buying their load of BS. Thanks.
You're welcome, Keith. Thank you, my friend. There he is, man. That's what he does. That is what Keith Alexander is so beloved for, those gripping commentaries. We'll be back with more right after this.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well. Or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur. Or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up 3 or 4 times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to CardioPrim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from freezedryguy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Don't forget, if we haven't given you enough yet, enough to chew on, there's still a third hour coming. And when we kick it off, our featured guest of the night will be Paul Fromm, the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. He's going to be talking about the fact that my book, Racism Schmacism, has been seized by Canadian border authorities as hate propaganda. The person carrying it is under investigation and could be facing penalties. Well, there you go. If my book is hate propaganda, then God help us. I mean, the Bible has been declared that too, I guess. So I guess I'm in good company.
Apparently your book is so powerful that they are afraid that if people even see the cover of it, they will storm the ramparts and the jig is up for liberalism. You know, they're going down the tube. So consequently, liberals are in a frenzy. You know, if they've heard about your book and it's more powerful than any other book that's ever been written, all you have to do is possess a copy of it and you're immediately facing a prosecution. That shows you the Orwellian world that people in Europe and Canada live in under these hate speech codes. See, there's this great lie that is told by liberals that they are about tolerance and peace and understanding. They want to coexist. Baloney. They don't want any of that. They are every left-wing radical egalitarian movement is driven not by benevolence or tolerance, but by envy and resentment. Now, write that down on the wall. That is what is animating these people. What else could animate people to do what the SPLC is doing and compile a hate list of every group that is truly conservative, apparently? You know, they want to throw... In fact, you know, groups as innocuous as the American Family Council or James Dobson's Focus on the Family group, you know, a bunch of Christian fundamentalist, mealy-mouthed, neoconservative types... They're hate groups, according to the SPLC. That shows you the tolerance and the diversity that they value at the SPLC. SPLC stands for Southern Poverty Law Center. And basically, it is a scam, as Harper's Magazine indicated. It basically exists to enrich people like Morris Dees and the other people that are higher-ups in that organization. And they are there to, according to the Harper's Magazine, alarm and dismay 80-year-old Jewish people into parting with their money, and these people are living like royalty down there in Montgomery, Alabama, with the money that they get from this shakedown.
Well, Keith, that is all correct, and you know, you're bringing up a point or elaborating on my point about how my book was seized in Canada. You know, again, it's so ironic, and Bill made mention of this as well. You know, we are so often slimed and smeared unjustly as being this, that, and the other. Neo-Nazi is one of the more extreme examples or adjectives they use to describe our work. But you know what's interesting is that seizing books and confiscating books and keeping people from having the freedom to read certain things that the government is in disapproval of, you know, who does that sound like? I mean, isn't that something that is often attributed to Hitler? I mean, isn't that something he was accused of doing? You know, so... It's just who are the real Nazis here, as Keith said. It's just flabbergasting, the hypocrisy and double standards and just sheer delusion that these people operate under. I got one more for you. Towson University, the White Student Union is in the makes up there, and this is a story from I believe a affiliate in Baltimore. There have been some tense moments recently on the Towson University campus as the potential formation of a white student union has garnered national attention and is raising concerns about racial equality. A Towson University student asked to hold a special forum Wednesday night to get input on the formation of the group, and students on both sides of the issue got to sound off. Some asked clarification questions while others denounced it completely. A small group supported it. Organizers of the White Student Union said it will be an advocacy group, a source of pride and safe haven for white students who have been discriminated against. They said the group will be open to anyone, regardless of their race, as long as they support the union's mission. Most of this controversy is being generated by people who I think are scared that white students are finally shaking this trend and actually being proud of who they are and encouraging pride in their culture, said White Student Union coordinator Matthew Heimbach. So far, so good, Keith. You know, and I've seen a flyer for this on the internet, and I believe this story linked to it. It said, and it showcased existing flyers for the Black Student Union of Towson University, the Hispanic Student Union of Towson University, the Gay Student Union of Towson University, and it said, what about white people? Come to this meeting if you would like to see a white student union organized. They are denouncing that as obviously racism. The double standard doesn't even occur to them. But get this quote. From a black scholar of Towson University. This is a direct quote that he made to the paper. And here's what he said. What is white history? What is white culture? Because if you look back over history, nothing positive has come from white history or white culture. Because whites have done nothing good. This is what a black student said at Towson University. That was not declared to be... Well, it wasn't a black professor. It was a black student. Now, he'll probably be a professor if he wants to be. But this is what he said... He said, nothing good has ever come of white culture, only bad. And I would ask him, buddy, you ever drive a car, listen to the radio, fly on an airplane? Do you like refrigeration, air conditioning? Do you like to talk on your cell phone? Do you like the wheel? You know, just you like computers? You like anything basically that's come about in civilization since the Bronze Age? I mean, odds are, and this is just the truth, odds are it came from the mind in the spirit and the soul of a white inventor. That's not a put down on other races. It's just a matter of fact. It's just the truth. Let the truth be told. Most inventions, most advancements in science and medicine and technology have come from the minds of white people. So when he says, okay, we've done nothing good. Nothing good has ever come of white culture. Nothing good has ever come from white history. What is he talking about?
Well, it's the Orwellian big lie. In other words, you know, it's obvious that everything that is found desirable in modern world life has probably emanated from the mind of a white person. This is, you know, they tell the biggest lies they can with a straight face because they've bought into this mindless left-wing drivel that depends for its life, for its very lifeblood, on this animus, this hatred of white people. And as you said, what rational argument can be made that would tell people that every other group can organize and have a sense of racial or ethnic solidarity and lobby for their own interests before the legislature or in the public forum or in the media, except for white Gentiles? The reason it's forbidden, and there was a black nationally syndicated editorial writer named William Raspberry that said that white people can never be allowed to have organizations like the NAACP or like La Raza for mestizo people or the NAACP for black people. And he didn't explain why they should never be allowed to do it. He just said they should never be allowed to do it. Let me take it one step further. They shouldn't be allowed to do it because they know our arguments would be compelling, that we drive all competitors from the field. Why do you think people are risking their lives to come to the United States and Europe from third world locales? People from Haiti are getting in leaky boats trying to make it to the shores of Florida. People from Kazakhstan, people from all over the world, from Africa, are doing their best to smuggle themselves into Europe or into America or into any white country, Australia. Why? Because white countries are, one, first world countries with all the amenities of first world countries, so they're attractive to people that don't live in first world countries. And secondly, we're the only people benevolent enough to let strangers into our midst. There are first world nations in the world that are not white nations, like Japan, like Korea, like Singapore, like Dubai or Kuwait. But they all have one, and like, of course, the granddaddy of them all, the State of Israel. But all of those countries have one thing in common. They are exclusively for the use and benefit of their own people. They do not let racial outsiders in. Israel is notorious for this. They're right now trying to rout out a few black people from Sudan and other parts of black Africa that have come to Israel as refugees. They're going door to door, knocking on the doors, arresting these people, deporting them. Of course, if we even just suggest building a border fence on the southern border of the United States, we're denounced in the most strident terms possible. See, this is the double standard that the left insists upon enforcing because they know that whites are peculiar. we are different from any other group. In any other group, any other racial group you can name, blacks, Hispanics, Arabs, Asians, you have basically two types of people. You have people that either are strong partisans of their own group or they strive to be colorblind. Whites have those two groups, plus they have people that in their midst who hate themselves and hate their group. No other group has that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Keith Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great had nothing on Keith Alexander. That's all the time Keith has for us tonight. The third and final hour will be dominated by Paul Fromm, Canadian Association for Free Expression. He is their director, and he's going to be talking about the fact that a man was detained at the airport, an airport in Canada, for carrying my book. The book was seized. Did they bother to read it? Hate propaganda? Are you serious? That's the third hour. Stay tuned.